Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Hey, welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. We come to you live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And for more information, all the information you need to know, you can find it at our website at BillMartinezLive.com. You know, if you've listened to this show at all, one of my most favorite documents is our U.S. Constitution. What our founding fathers gave us is just beyond brilliant. Any kind of adjective you would want to put to that just does not seem to do it justice. But I would say that I am grateful for our next guest. Judge Douglas Ginsburg is going to be joining us to talk about the Constitution and to discuss this new PBS series that, you know, gets you into the origin, maybe some nuances, and help you appreciate that no matter what the view you have, It is a binding document that formulates our worldview and our discipline to continue this great American experiment. I mean, it is such a blessing. Judge Ginsburg, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Bill. I'm delighted to be here.
Well,
series, you know, is airing on public television over the next few months, a more or less perfect union, and I hope your listeners will be interested in tuning in after they hear about hear us talking about it.
This is a must view to see this. What I grew out of this, Your Honor, is that just a broader appreciation, especially in a very partisan environment that we live in right now. Our founding fathers wanted the country to really be the epitome of a broad tent. They knew that people, I guess instinctively, they knew people were going to be drawn to this great American experiment, and it demanded a document that would be able to embrace cultures of the entire world, did they not?
Well, yes, of course. At the time of the founding, the country was very much a country of immigrants, and no one had been here more than a few generations at that point. So that was very much a factor in the founders' thinking. But you know, Bill, the document, as you say, is probably it's a wonderful achievement, and I think it's properly been called the greatest secular document ever written.
Yes.
But the document and what we have now are really quite different because of so much pulling and hauling and tugging at the terms of the Constitution by the Congress, by the Supreme Court, that I don't think the founders would recognize the government that we have now, or the Constitution as a practical matter that we have now. My hope is that we can recover some of that ground and restore some of the protections that were built into the Constitution.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I would say that you know, what echoes through the millennia was that question that was put forth to Benjamin Franklin. Okay, what kind of government do we have? He said, "Ma'am, a democratic republic, if you can keep it, right?
A republic, if you can keep it." And it was a very important statement because that was the challenge. And we have not entirely lived up to that, I have to say. You know, the framers' original constitution was intended to protect our liberties by having a very limited government of enumerated powers, and those powers being separated among the three branches, so that the Congress would legislate, the president would enforce the laws, and the courts would adjudicate. Mm-hmm. And that's really changed a great deal since the founding, Bill. Notwithstanding the clarity of the structure in the Constitution, we now have a situation where most of our laws do not come from the Congress. The Congress mm-hmm. delegates its lawmaking authority to some administrative agency. That agency passes regulations that have the force of law. In the recent Congress, there were 18 regulations with the force of law for every one public law passed by the Congress.
Yes.
So it's really a complete distortion of what was intended. And then in those agencies, many of them, far from having separation of powers, many of those agencies can not only pass the regulations, but enforce the regulations and then act as the judge as to whether someone's violated them. You know, Madison, the father of our Constitution, called that combination of powers, quote, the very definition of tyranny,
close quote.
And that's a major problem today.
Yeah, and the other thing you didn't mention is that you also have the participation of what we would define as activist judges who come in and overreach. But yet there's no pushback, Your Honor. I mean, you know, this continues, and, you know, we the people are standing by here, and I am indicting, you know, the everyday citizen whose responsibility. I mean, the way the framers of our Constitution designed this is they really turned the org chart upside down. Instead of having the elites or a president at top and then everything, you know, in a typical organization and the minions being at the bottom, the framers said, no, it had to be a government of, for, by, we, the people, which by definition puts us at the top of the food chain. But if we don't administrate and we don't apprehend that rightful authority position, then you have a government whose org chart has been turned upside down.
Well, there's a lot to that, Bill. You're right. And one of the ways in which it's happened is that we've gone from a presumption of liberty in which the government doing something to somebody that injures them in some way has to explain itself, and now we have a situation in which it's the citizen who has to explain himself. It really is a reversal of what was expected. The Supreme Court has been, I think, quite complicit in this over the years, in their so-called interpretation of the Constitution, which has often involved snipping little parts out and sometimes putting other parts in that weren't there.
Yes.
That's really quite a shocking revision of the Constitution. Can I give you an example or two?
Yes.
Article 1 of the Constitution authorizes the Congress to regulate interstate commerce. And everybody understands that means sending goods from one place to another. Mm-hmm. And so for 130 or 40 years, labor relations, manufacturing, mining, retailing were not subject to federal regulation because they were local activities.
Exactly.
Of course, the transportation of the goods was. But then in the 30s and 40s, the Supreme Court said, well, actually, it's anything affecting interstate commerce. And, of course, almost everything commercial affects interstate commerce. Anything you do locally may have an effect on interstate commerce. And that's why we got this huge administrative apparatus in Washington that we now have, with all of these agencies regulating some aspect of our lives on the basis that was really invented by the Supreme Court.
And, of course, supported by the bureaucracy, because as Ronald Reagan put it, as you'll recall, that's about the closest thing to eternal life in our government is the bureaucracy, right? Oh, Lord. And but, Judge, how do we turn this around? Can we get it back into control and bring it more into alignment for the original purpose? Is that possible?
Well, Bill, that's really the question of the day. You hit the nail on the head there. What's happened over the last 30 years or so, maybe 25, while the court has been chipping away at our liberties and the Congress has been intruding well beyond its authorized powers, is that civics education has fallen to a low.
Your Honor, we got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Judge Ginsburg after this. We are 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and our conversation continues with the Honorable Douglas Ginsburg. Judge Ginsburg joins us, and we're talking about Voices of Our Republic. This is also a book, but it's also a PBS series that is out this month. It's must-see. I would say this is you want to record it because you want to go back and review this over and over again. And let me say to you that this is a civics education that was missing and especially in the current venues of our public education system. This is a much needed experience and commitment to our education that we need in this current environment that we find ourselves in, this 21st century America. Judge Ginsburg, as we were talking before, civics education is absolutely vital to the future. If we're going to pass on to this next generation, you know, the freedoms that were intended by our founding fathers, we may have messed it up, but I think there's a way to right. There's still a way to right the ship, right?
Well, I certainly hope so, and I think so, Bill. I spent a lot of time producing this program, A More or Less Perfect Union, the PBS TV show, on the assumption that and the expectation that a more informed public would resist this continual intrusion into our liberties. And schools have dropped civics education in many places. History has going by the wayside. There is some backlash now. The governor of Florida just mandated that civics be taught in every school district.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great development. So we're starting with the public television audience with this show, A More or Less Perfect Union, but it is also supporting an entire civics curriculum for 170,000 teachers around the country who have signed up and are getting the materials. And there'll be some video each week and critical questions to for discussion. And I think there's another unit of four, I think it is, lessons for Black History Month, which is this month, of course.
Exactly.
So I'm hopeful that we can turn this around if the public becomes as informed as we really need to be. And that companion book,
The Voices of the Republic. Yes.
Yeah, that's the book, and it's available everywhere books are sold. That's a piece of the puzzle here. That's part of what we're trying to get across to people. There, you've got about 75 contributors with their thoughts on the Constitution. It includes several Supreme Court justices, Justice Gorsuch, Justice O'Connor, Justice Breyer, I think, Alan Dershowitz, Al Sulzberger, the publisher of the New York Times. Very wide range of views.
Yeah, Jack Nicklaus, the golfer. You got the golfer Jack Nicklaus. The actress Jeanine Turner. I mean, some everyday people. You know, I mean, when you say everyday, we talk about icons like that. But Gene Simmons, the musician. I mean, this is what I appreciate about this book, and along with the PBS special. Again, as I grew to appreciate that there's a breadth of understanding of what freedom means and how people are playing this out. You even get, we've got input from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, not a relative, by the way, that you cleared up, because people say, Ginsburg, spelled the same. Is there some relationship there? So thank you for clarifying that.
No, that was her. That's her married name.
Yes,
she was not born a Ginsburg.
Yes,
but that's right. What the book illustrates is the centrality of the Constitution to American life, and too many people have opinions about the Constitution but haven't bothered to read it.
Mm-hmm.
You would need a lawyer to understand the deed to your house or the mortgage. But the Constitution was written for the public to understand and to be able to protect and assert their rights. And I think very few people, unfortunately, actually read it these days.
Exactly.
It's not even taught in many schools.
Well, our founding fathers cautioned us. They said, if you don't understand the law, then it's not written correctly, so to speak. That's my interpretation. And that purposely, whether it was Obamacare or other documents, I don't know, Obamacare, my head exploded. I kept trying to force myself to read it, and the conflicting statements in it, Your Honor, was just mind-blowing to me. And I don't know, it's no wonder that probably less than 10% of the lawmakers actually read the 2,800 pages of Obamacare.
Well, I would be amazed if if 1% actually read it, because it wouldn't make sense just reading it. You couldn't understand what it's accomplishing. So they have to rely upon staff reports about what it was designed to do. Mm-hmm. But that's a sorry pass when not only the public but even our representatives can't get a handle on what is happening in their own chamber.
Exactly.
So that has to be corrected eventually.
A theme you've been sharing with us that we've held to on this show is that all policy and even elected officials, we need to ask the critical question, will it add or take away from our liberties? And I think this is one of the critical questions that we've abandoned for some reason. And this is why we're in the mess we're in right now, as you pointed out, just in one simple example.
If the public kept asking that question, the embarrassing answer would be no, 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 and eventually legislators would get the message, and the courts. It's not possible to understand the law if the courts give it a meaning that is not something that an ordinary person would glean from reading the law, mm-hmm. particularly the Constitution. Let me give you a very recent example. 10 years ago, the Constitution authorizes a government to take private property only for a public use and if they pay just compensation. Mm-hmm. And that has that's been the law from the founding until 10 years ago. What's a public use? Well, obviously a school, a highway, a post office. Even a railroad right-of-way can be justified as a public use. How about taking a bunch of houses, knocking them down? They're not slums. They're not blighted. To create a campus, an open field, so that a company can build office towers there and thereby provide more tax revenue for
exactly.
the city.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a public use. And the Supreme Court said, well, okay, but it's a public purpose, and we know that because the city council voted for it. Hmm. Well, public purpose could be almost anything as long as the city council votes for it. And that was so out of line with the thinking of the country that 46 states have clarified to their citizens that they will not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
the Supreme Court left mm-hmm. it open yeah. for them to do.
Exactly. Well, a more or less perfect union, a personal exploration by the judge, explores the foundational document that governs those who govern us, the American Constitution. How did this come about?
Well, Bill, I've been thinking and writing about the Constitution for the last 20 years or a little bit more, and my capacity as a judge has exposed me to a lot of the things that we're talking about here today. And so when Free to Choose Media approached me about hosting something, a program on the Constitution, I was very keen mm-hmm. to take this opportunity to make a contribution to civic education. It's an appropriate role for a judge, frankly.
Exactly.
So that's the backstory.
Well, and here we are, as you stated, when we first began our conversation, the hope is that our conversation, what you've done with PBS, will encourage people to reconnect with this founding document. I encourage people in critical holidays like, the 4th of July or Memorial Day to pull out the Constitution and read it. In fact, there was a sweet story about a Fox host who would do that in his backyard. And, of course, we know that Charles Krautheimer since has passed away, but his son said that he's going to continue that tradition. And we've been doing that for the past couple of years as well, encouraged, because I would say on the show often, I would say, you need to get the Constitution and read it today. It's a quick read. It doesn't take that long, but it reconnects us with our founding. And I found it quite interesting as we go around and read it, you start seeing light bulbs turn on, It's pretty neat.
And anyone who does read it will see, they'll be reminded that there is a process for amending the Constitution. And it's not easy, but it requires a broad public support. 3/4 of the states have to ratify. It doesn't provide for amending the Constitution by Supreme Court interpretation.
Right. Exactly. Well, we got to leave it there. Judge Ginsburg has been our guest, A More or Less Perfect Union. It's out on PBS.